You're listening to the teaching ministry of Michael Williams, pastor of International Outreach Church, located in Wills Point, Texas. Get ready to be challenged, charged, and changed by the Word of God which you're about to receive.
Everybody have your Bibles? Turn with me, if you will, and if you don't have, you're just at my mercy, and just trust that I am reading from Scripture. Turn with me to Philippians 2. We've been teaching a series on Wednesday nights on authority. Who's in charge? I mean, what's going on in the world? What's wrong with the world, you know? And when you get into the Word and find out what the Word really says about the Bible, the Scripture says about that subject, God's getting a bad rap in a lot of cases for what we do. He's getting a bad rap for what sin has done in the earth. I mean, we'll look at a world and you look at famine, you look at wars all going on, and then you hear a preacher saying God is good, and then people get confused because they think God's behind everything. Well, there's the problem. God's not behind everything. God does not do everything. And death and destruction, all those things, are a result of sin. You say, my sin? Well, no, not necessarily yours, but it does go all the way back to Adam's. When Adam sinned, death entered the world. When sin entered the world, death entered the world. And it's been in a mess ever since. And, you know, until you rectify that problem, until you solve that problem of Adam and the sin of the world in your life's going to be a mess. In other words, you got to get out of Adam. You got to get into Christ. Because in Adam all die, and Christ all are made alive. Amen. And the problem with us before we get saved is real simple. The problem with us is us. Yes. We have found the enemy, and he is us. And so our dilemma is who we are. The only way to get out of that dilemma is to get out of who we are, to be changed, to be born again. That's what Jesus brought, is a new birth. Hallelujah. And praise God, we've been born again. Amen? Yes. And we've been born free. But obviously, we still live in the world, and we still have problems. We still have tragedy. We still have crisis. This is a rough world. It's got edges and sharp edges, and you get bruised, and, you know, eventually you're going to die. No question about that. But thank God we've got some reprieve. We've got some help. We've got some hope when things happen. We have someone to call on and run to. Yes. We have authority we didn't have before. We can pray now. Before, we didn't know how to pray, but now we know how to. We can trust God. We have knowledge of His promises if we've been in His Word and studying His Word and so on. And you can take His Word. You can stand on it. God doesn't, you know, speak in mysteries. He speaks very plainly. What He says, He means. He doesn't say one thing and mean another. He doesn't say ask and you receive and then not let you receive. Hello. Now, sometimes we can ask amiss. I understand that. We're not asking according to the Word. And you're not going to get something that God doesn't promise you. But if God promises it to you, then hang in there, keep believing. It's going to turn around. God will do what He says. Right. You can't trust God, who can you trust? Right. Amen? Praise the Lord. So we're talking about authority. We have been talking about that for a few weeks, and we got into last week on the authority invested in the name of Jesus. That's really important to understand that as a Christian, because we don't pray to God in our name. We don't come to God on our merit. We're not born again on our merit. We don't go to heaven on our merit. And we sure don't pray on our merit. I mean, we didn't get into this thing on our good looks. Hello? I mean, if that were the case, you know, Ryan, you and I'd be the only ones making. I mean, come on. And I'm wondering about you. But anyway, no, I'm kidding. I'm just, you know. We're not good enough. We don't look good enough. We got saved because of what Jesus did. And you know what you did and I did? We called on His name. That's exactly what we did. In fact, that's what Romans 10:13 says, whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Right. Isn't that great? That's a wonderful truth. See, I didn't get there on my name. My name's no good, but His name is. That's how I got saved. That's how I'm born again. That's how I've got eternal life. That's how I've got assurance. That's how I know I'm going to heaven, because I have called on that name. Hallelujah. And whoever calls on that name, amen, really from their heart and believes it, whoever calls on His name, whosoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Romans 10:13. In fact, Romans 10:9 says that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, say the name. If you just say the name. Not just as a magic word, not like a fetish, not some potion. No. Not like that. We're talking about you believing on Him and calling on that name. If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you shall be saved. Woohoo! I believe it. How about you? Amen. We all believe that. But see, that's how we got born again. And that's how we are supposed to continue in the Christian faith. When needs arise and we need to come to God and we need to pray, we need to believe, we need an answer, we need a miracle, we need Him to intervene, we need help, we need strength. How do we come to Him? How do we pray? What gives us the right or the authority? Well, that name. That name. That's why I always get upset, you know, when you see movies and they'll pray at the table and they'll say, Amen. Not in Jesus' name or hello. And sometimes we're guilty of that, and stay with me on this point. We'll say things like, in Christ's name. And I understand that, but His name, Christ's name is Jesus. Hello. Now, don't go blast someone when they say that. I'm just teaching up here, and that's what I'm supposed to do, is straighten things out. So maybe I can straighten you out tonight. But anyway, start with me. That's what I need to start with. Christ is a title. Jesus is a name. Christ is who He is. Christ is just Greek for the Hebrew equivalent, Messiah. Messiah. It meant the anointed one. So Jesus is the Messiah, Hebrew, Christ, Greek. So who is this Messiah? Who is this Christ? Jesus. That's His name. Amen? So I always like to say Jesus. I remember, you know, when I prayed down at the state capitol, they had I was chaplain for today down there a few years ago. Betty introduced me, and they'll have someone open up in prayer. They're in legislation right now. They're having a legislative session in Austin right now. But I remember when I got up, I thought about how many times preachers just compromise that issue, and maybe they'll close a prayer and just say amen, not to offend maybe Jews, not to offend maybe Buddhists, not to offend maybe those that have no religion. Well, I'm not about offending anybody, but I sure am about representing someone. Amen. Are you with me? We're not out to make enemies. We're not trying to blast anybody or belittle anyone, but we sure are about raising Jesus high. Yeah. And so I determined, you know, when I closed that prayer, it was going to be not just in Jesus' name. It was going to be, pause, in the matchless name, pause, of Jesus. Amen. Yeah. And I think every time in public, we ought to use it and use it big. Yeah. The world uses it. Come on. They stub their toe and they say Jesus Christ. In fact, you know, this is a good way to witness someone. I know a lady that worked she was a checker, born again, loved God, strong witness. Every once in a while someone would come through a line and, they would say something like that. You know, they couldn't find something in their purse and they'd say Jesus Christ. And she said, oh, He's my Lord and Savior. Do you know Him? Okay, what? They go, oh, what? Nobody stumps their toe and says Buddha. No. Or Muhammad. Why is that? I'll tell you why that is, because the devil loves to cheapen that name. He wants to cheapen that name because there is authority in that name. We've made a cuss word out of that name. People use it in pain, when they're in pain, or when they're frustrated, when they're mad, like a cuss word, to make it powerless. That doesn't mean anything. But see, it does mean something. To us, it means plenty. Amen. Yes. It's the name we called on when we were saved. Hallelujah. It means something because it represents Him, the person Jesus. And our authority is invested or rest in that name. Jesus, when He went to heaven in Matthew 28:18, He said, all power in heaven and earth is given unto me. Go ye therefore. He sent us in His place. We were commissioned by Him. That's called the Great Commission. Are you with me? We had delegated authority. Authority given to us. In other words, He left. He wants the business He's in to continue. So you authorize servants to continue the business, and we're it. That's us. Yes. He even said it more plainly in the 16th chapter of the book of Mark, in the 17th verse, He said, these signs shall follow them that believe in my name, they shall. And then He lists several things. Cast out devils, speak with new tongues. If they drink any deadly things, shall not hurt them. And He goes, they shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. How? In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. The 70 returned in Luke, the 10th chapter. They returned to Jesus to report what they had done. He had sent 70 people out in Luke, the 10th chapter, and told them to go heal the sick and preach the kingdom of God. Tell them the kingdom of God's come nigh. The Bible tells us that they returned in the 17th verse and reported all that they had done. And they said, Lord, even the devils are subject to us through thy name. What was the secret of their power? The name. What gave them the authority? Or he might say under this new covenant, who died and put you in charge? Jesus. Think about it. Now, I'm in charge of what he put me in charge of. I'm not God, don't want to be, and you're not God, never going to be. But we are in charge of our world, where we live, our circle. I'm not in charge of you. I'm in charge of me. I don't have authority over you, but I got authority over me. I have to take authority over myself quite often. I taught a message in that series, authority over yourself. You got authority over yourself. Hallelujah. Quit acting that way. Take authority over yourself. Start doing the right thing. You can do it. Hallelujah. You've been given charge, a charge. And the first charge you got is you. And then, of course, the world that you live in. But see, if you go through the scriptures real plain, it's not a big secret. It's not real complicated. You look at the disciples, the 12, the 70 that he sent out. You look at the early church, and I just quoted Mark 16 chapter and of course, paralleled it and put it in context with Matthew 28. When it comes to authority, all authority is delegated. Nobody has ultimate authority except God. That's all. So we have a delegated authority as Christians, and it's exercised in the use of the name. You know, the perfect example is just to carry someone's name. When we get married, the woman takes on the name. In our society, and it still is, I don't know how much longer, but in our society it's still that way, the woman takes on the name of the husband and automatically has access to all that husband's resources. Hello. Of course, it goes both ways. I mean, they both have joint access, all things being equal. And she can write checks in the name, the last name of that husband. She has taken on that name. And all that name represents. Hello. We've been married to Jesus. Yes. Yes. Woohoo. Amen. Now, can we ask for just anything in the world in Jesus' name? Well, no, whatever's in his account. Right. You can't ask that God to burn somebody's house down. He doesn't have that in his account. That's right. Amen. That's another name. That's not his name. Yeah. You can do that, but you're going to do that in your name. You can't do that in his name. You might use his name and give him a bad rap, but he really didn't have anything to do with that. And I think that's part of the problem, too, is you see a lot of people misrepresenting Jesus. And so the church gets a bad rap. God gets a bad rap. We talk about the Inquisition and the Crusades and all those things. Well, you Christians, that's what all those Christians did. If that's what God's about, I don't want anything to do with them. Well, God wasn't about all that. They misrepresented God. That wasn't what God was about. Hello. But whatever he is about, we have access to those resources. If he's a forgiver, then we can forgive in Jesus' name. If he loves people, I guess we can love people in Jesus' name. If he's holy, I guess we can live holy in Jesus' name. If he is a healer, we should lay hands on the sick for them to be healed in Jesus' name. Because he told us to, for one thing. Amen. But we're the ones that have been given the name. We've been authorized. We're authorized agents of Jesus and company. Flip out our badge, special agent. Amen? Jesus person now. We're Jesus people. So when we pray, I don't pray in my strength. I don't pray in my power. I don't go to God with my bank account and say, hey, you know, take out a little healing out of my account here. I need to pray for healing and take a little peace out of my account. I don't have any of that in my account. I'm drawing it out of his account. I'm writing a check on his account. In legal terms, they call that a power of attorney. It's when you sign over your name to someone to continue to operate your business. People do it all the time. People go to foreign countries, or maybe someone is not mentally capable as they get older, so they sign over their rights to their accounts. That's called a power of attorney. It is a legal term. And praying in Jesus' name is a legal matter. Whew. That's really where we get into getting our prayers answered and going about the kingdom. We feel so unworthy. We feel we have no right. We feel like there's no way I could do that. You're still looking at your account. It has nothing to do with your account. You need to look at his account. I'm praying in Jesus' name. I'm praying in the name of Michael Williams. I couldn't heal on that. Are you kidding? I could pray for you until all the hair on your head's rubbed off, and some people wouldn't take long to do that. But anyway, I'm here. But that I can't, you know, but healing through me, through you, in Jesus' name, that's another story altogether. Amen? Okay, y'all found Philippians. Authority in the name. That's why we pray in Jesus' name. And that ought to stir you up. How many of you ever felt unworthy? Oh, come on. Every one of us. How many of you had a task that just come to hand and just no way, Jose. Not going to make it through this one. I just don't think I can do that. Well, no, you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. We were talking to Butch, Darlene Bruton today, pastor New Life Church in Kettle Mills. We went to eat lunch with him in Greenville. We'd gone over to pray for Kalita's husband, Glenn, in the hospital. And we went ahead and met up with him and ate lunch. And we were just talking about, you know, how that if you'll do what you can do, God does what you can't do. But he doesn't do what you can't do until you do what you can do. You know, he told Peter to get out of the boat. Peter had to get out of the boat, you know, to walk on the water. Peter couldn't walk on the water, but he could get out of the boat. So when he did what he could do, all of a sudden he was able to do what he couldn't do. But see, we won't even do the thing we can do because we see what we can't do. We're letting what we can't do keep us from doing what we can do. And God's not asking us to do what we can't do. He's asking us to do what we can do. And what we can't do, he'll do if we'll do what we can do. You get it?
Amen.
I'm going to say it again. Okay. That gets taken. Might mess it up. But we're always waiting, see, for something spectacular. You know, well, I'm just not able to do that. Well, what are you able to do? Can you say in Jesus' name? Can you pray? Can you quote the promise? Can you step out on the water? Can you at least do that? If you'll do that, God will make the water solid and under your feet. If you'll do what you can do, God will do what you can't do. But as long as you're waiting to do anything, nothing's going to happen. Wow. Don't let what you can't do keep you from doing what you can do. And it's amazing the way God works like that. God waits for you to do what you can before he'll do what you can't. Isn't that right?
Yeah.
Just draw nigh to me, I'll draw nigh to you.
Yeah.
Oh, hallelujah. And I'll tell you what we can do. We can call on this name. We can use this name. You know, we're talking about the name of Jesus, the power in it. I'm going to digress a little bit here. I'm kind of getting way ahead of myself, but that's all right. I'm like a, you know, thoroughbred. I'm high strung. You know, that's just the way I am. That's the way I roll. That's why God gave me Brenda to calm me down. You know, but when you talk about the name, in Philippians you see the start of this thing. The name Jesus is above every name. There's no question about this. Philippians 2 is a classic verse. There's about three passages I want to get to real quick and try not to comment too much on the name of Jesus. Everybody say the name of Jesus. Okay, that's the name we all bear. Listen, that's the one that causes us to be Christians, whether we're Baptist, Methodist, Pentecostal, Catholic, Church of Christ, right on down the list. If we name the name of Jesus, if we call on the name of Jesus, we're Christians, we're believers in Jesus. Amen? That's what saves us. The building doesn't save us. International Outreach Church, that name won't save you. First Baptist, that won't save you. First Assembly, that won't save you. These are names we have on our buildings, and I understand that, to identify our assembly. But there's only one name that'll save us, and that name is Jesus. There's only one name that has that power in the bank account. Salvation isn't in no other bank account except his. And only those who have a right to that name can access that bank account and get what's in that account. If you call on him in his name, you can access what's available in his account. The ninth verse, speaking of Jesus, says, therefore God, second chapter of Philippians, ninth verse. Therefore, God also hath highly exalted him, Jesus. That's the context if you have time to read this chapter. But therefore, God also has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name. Oh, hallelujah. We could just have a camp meeting on that. But I'll just say some things briefly and move on. Man, we have a whole message on that. What is your problem? It has a name.
That's right.
Doesn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, depression, that's a name. Sickness, that's a name. Poverty, that's a name. Everything has a name. Now, don't be naming your wife or your husband, okay? Now, don't stay with me. I lost that on you there, but anyway, that's okay. You'll get it later and just roll. It'll be so funny. Everything has a name, but did you know there's a name that's above every name? Do you know cancer is a name? It brings fear. It's a scary thing in the natural. But it's just a name. Isn't it? There's a name above every name.
Right.
Hell's a name. You know, you don't have to go there.
Amen.
In fact, if you call on the name of Jesus, you don't have to go to hell because the name of Jesus is above the name of hell.
That's right.
Yeah. And depression, when it rolls in, the darkness comes in. We sing that song, you know, when the darkness closes in and I'm on my knees again, I call your name. Jesus, I call your name. It causes the darkness to go. It causes light to come. Why is that? Well, because God has highly exalted Jesus. Jesus fulfilled the will of God. God became man. We call him Jesus. He came down here. He lived a perfect, sinless life. Absolutely everything he did in the will of God. He never once sinned, was tempted in all points, just like all of us, but never once did he ever sin. He went all the way to the cross and died and hung on the cross and let them kill him. He laid his life down for you, and praise God, he rose again the third day, and God exalted him because of his obedience, because of his willingness to obey him. God exalted him and gave him a name that is above every name. That's why prayer works. That's why prayer changes things. Prayer doesn't change God. It just changes things. Why? Because everything is subject to that name. Oh, hallelujah. Therefore, God also has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name. Now, as soon as you have a crisis, it's got a name. As soon as it's got a name. There is a name above it. Hallelujah. Call on that name. Amen. That at the name of Jesus, 10th verse, at the name of, see, there's the problem. We've been talking that problem, we've been talking that crisis, but we hadn't been talking that name. We've been calling on the crisis, calling on the problem, and calling it back up, telling everybody about it, rehearsing the curse, rehashing the trash. And we could be reversing the curse. The interpretation. We could reverse the curse and take out the trash. Guess that'll work. But anyway, we need to start talking the name. Calling on the name. Hallelujah. Jesus, he's waiting there. He's just waiting for you to call.
That's right.
Oh, hallelujah. So he says, at the name, at the name. See, at the name's got to be named. You got to name the name. You got to play the name game. Y'all get it? And here's the name game. Jesus' name's above every name. At the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, whatever that thing is. That name's got to bow to the name of Jesus. Whatever that thing is you're fighting, that fear, it's got to bow. Fear's a name. That's what it is. Fear's just a name. That's all it is. Confusion is a name. You know, 2 Timothy 1:7 says, God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. And in the name of Jesus, we come against that fear.
Yes. Amen.
And that fear's got to bow. That confusion's got to go.
Right.
That confusion's got to go in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Cheryl gave a testimony, you know, tonight about how she just kept believing and kept standing and, you know, kept calling on the name, kept believing God, kept standing when it didn't look like it, but just kept standing. It will work. It will happen. It may not happen overnight. You know, you probably didn't get in the mess you're in overnight. You're probably not going to get out overnight. But if you get on the road and you start walking by faith and not by sight, you will come in contact with this promise. Hallelujah.
Amen.
It's worth the effort. It's worth the time. And you have the authority and the right. There has been conferred upon you. There has been delegated to you this power of attorney. As a Christian, as a believer, you have at your grasp, at your part of your resources now, the name of Jesus. That's no good if you don't pick it up. God didn't give it to you just to put on a tag. He gave it to us to use. He gave it to us to do something with, to get it on our lips.
Yes.
And if we will confess it, I love that. You know, I love that Romans 10:9, where it says that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in your heart, God raised from the dead, you shall be saved. The word saved there means delivered, set free, made whole. We just think of eternal life in heaven, but that's not, the word's broader and fuller than that. It's translated healed in the New Testament. In fact, the woman was made whole in Mark 5th chapter. Thy faith hath made thee whole, Jesus said. That word whole is the same word translated saved there in Romans 10:9. So what he's saying there is if we will confess Jesus as Lord, not this pain,
yeah.
We'll confess Jesus is Lord, not this fear I'm feeling. I confess with my mouth the Lord Jesus. I will bow my knee to Him, not to this. Y'all catching it? I'm not going to bow to this. I'm not going to let this rule my life and lord it over my life. I'm not going to let this depression or this problem or this confusion or this pain or this poverty, whatever the case may be, it will not be my Lord. I will not serve it. Jesus is Lord. Jesus is my Lord. And I confess His name. Wow. That's allegiance. That's servanthood. That's who your Lord is. Whoever your Lord is, the one who takes care of you. You know, you abide by His rules, you get His provision. But we're bowing our knees to everything that comes down the pike, you know. Everything knocks on our door, we just take it. Every telemarketer that calls, we said, yes, I'll buy it. Hey, hang the phone up. Say, no, no, no. Is it the N or the O you don't understand? No. I don't want it. Hang the phone. Don't take everything that comes along. What should we take? What should we receive? Well, what is it we're supposed to do? Well, get in the Bible. Find out what God offers, what God wants in your life. And be a recipient of that and serve that. Are you with me? And when something opposite comes up, call on the name. Oh, I love that. That's just good stuff. Not because I said it. It's good. It's Bible. If you have a problem with any of that, just you have to talk to Jesus, because I didn't quote I didn't make up these scriptures. They're in the Bible, amen. Yeah. That every tongue, I love this, 10th verse says that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, and those in heaven, those on earth, those under the earth. That's three worlds right there. That's the spiritual realm, that's the natural world where we live, and that's even under the earth. That'd be hell, the domain of hell. Jesus' name is Lord of heaven, earth, and hell, and all the green Martians that ever land in your backyard. If you're so inclined, you believe that stuff. I mean, you know, well, okay, what if a Martian lands in my backyard? Well, in Jesus' name, he's got to get back on his UFO and get out of here. If that were to happen. But anyway, not that I believe that. I'm just telling you that Jesus' name is Lord in three worlds. All three worlds. The heavens, the earth, and under the earth. There's nothing he's not Lord over. No situation, no crisis. You're not special. I've got special problems. No, you don't. You got problems. That's everybody has them. Hello. Now, in Jesus' name, you can attack those problems. You can start praying and start believing and start. You know, it may take a while, and maybe you have to discipline yourself. Maybe you're not used to this. I understand this. This takes some work, some discipline, because you do have to retrain your thinking. You know, we kind of love to whine. Well, it works, okay? Well, we think it does. Everybody else does it. We seem to get attention when we do it. Hello? Well, they're having a big time up there. And so we think it's working, but it's not working. It's just making it worse. All our whining does, and when people join in with us, is multiply the pain. That's all. And that's kind of, you know, we're sadistic in that sense. We don't want to hurt with anybody else hurting. We want everybody else to hurt too. You know. Now, I say that not to say that you don't confide in people. You don't ask people to pray. Of course you do. Of course you get people to believe with you. Are you with me? But what we have to do is take authority. I think in many cases we as Christians endure what we should be overcoming.
Yeah. That's right.
We endure temptation. Yeah. But we're enduring a lot of things we've been given the power to overcome. The name, Jesus, the authority to overcome. And not because you're some strong person, great person, or I'm some strong, great person. It has nothing to do with my strength or my greatness. It has to do with what's behind that name.
That's right.
It has to do with what's in that account. You know, I shared last week, I worked for a company that I bought and sold for. And you know, it was a wholesale produce company, big company, had several trucks. They'd buy from all over the United States and even up in Canada and Mexico and all over. And I would order stuff from all over, truckloads of stuff, train car loads of potatoes from Idaho and, you know, just, I mean, 18-wheelers full of stuff. Weekly, every day we'd order stuff. I never paid for any of it. I'd call up and place an order. They never once asked for what I had in my account. I never had to write a check. I never had to make it good. I was authorized to operate in the name of Trinity Produce. Are you with me? I was an agent of that company. It had nothing to do with what I had or didn't have. I remember some of those times I was really struggling. Pay for a load of lettuce from California. You're kidding. I was having trouble getting my car payment, my house payment paid. But it didn't matter when I placed the order. What matters is what Trinity Produce had in their account, not what Michael Williams had in his account. Well, I just feel so unworthy. You know, and I look at myself and I think I'm not that kind of person and I can't do that. Well, no, but it has nothing to do with you. We're talking about Jesus and we're talking about you being authorized by Jesus as a Christian, as a believer. You now have that name and you can pray that name, hallelujah. And God will move across heaven to cause that to happen. Because you call on his name, and you're the one that he gave the name to.
Amen. Amen.
In your household, you're it. When it comes to you, nobody's got authority you have over you.
That's right.
Woo! Amen. Hallelujah. Excuse me for getting stirred up. So, this name's got all authority. It's above every name. At the name of Jesus, every knee will bow. And eventually every knee will bow. We'll see it happen where every single knee will bow to this name, but it'll be too late, of course, at that point. You need to choose your side now before the war's over. You hear me? You don't choose sides when the battle's over.
Right.
Now's the time to make your choice. Like Joshua said, for me and my house, we will serve the Lord.
Amen.
We choose sides now. One day everybody will bow their knee, no question. But we need to make that choice now. Then we can start using that name now.
Yeah.
All right, okay. Now, things in heaven, things in earth, things under the earth, 11 verse says, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. One day everybody will confess Jesus is Lord. No question that will happen, but it's going to be a little too late then. You need to make your confession now. You need to accept Jesus now. Let me tell you something, there's no atheist in hell. And yet every atheist goes to hell. But there's no atheist in hell. Because when they get there, they're no longer atheist. Are you with me? Even the devils believe and tremble, the Bible says. But make your choice now. Amen? Hallelujah. That name that's above every name, three worlds, heaven, earth, things under the earth. God has exalted and given that name to Jesus. Now turn over to... Hebrews 1. Stay with me. Can you stay with me here a few more minutes?
Amen.
Okay. This helping you?
Yes.
Well, think about it, simulate it, write notes, underline, circle, whatever you got to do. Maybe it's brand new. Just chew on it if that's the case, but by all means, don't just write it off. If it's Scripture and it's in the Bible, then, you know, we got to believe it. Amen? We are Christians. We should believe the Bible. It doesn't mean that you've always done it. It doesn't mean you've even ever heard it, but, you know, nonetheless, if it's Bible, we still got to go for it. How many of you know every scripture in the Bible from Genesis to Revelation? Yeah, I don't. I've read it many times, but I can't. I'd be naive to tell you that I really have it working every single verse in the Bible from front to back, from Genesis to the maps, you know. In a general sense, I believe the Bible. We all do. We're Christians. We're believers. We believe the Bible. Amen? But that doesn't mean we have it all working or that we even know it all.
Right.
And I don't know about you, but I'm learning all the time. Dear Lord, I hope you've learned something in the last 10, 15, 20, 30, 40 years of your life. Amen?
Amen.
And, you know, there's a possibility, it's just a chance here, that you may not know everything yet. I mean, really. You know, well, that's a new concept, I know. But, I mean, I really read the Bible with that idea in mind. I'm thinking, you know, I don't know everything, and I know some things, and some things I do know. I'm not about to change what I know for sure and know for certain. Sure, I know some things that are not going to change. But I don't know everything, and that's why I keep reading and keep praying and keep serving God, because, praise God, there's so much I don't know, you know. And I can add truth to truth. You never get rid of truth that's real truth, but sometimes you do have to change things that were a little twisted. You say, well, I've heard this all my life, and you're trying to say that's wrong. Well, first of all, I'm not saying anything's wrong or anything's right. We're just saying what the Scripture says, and we all have to look at it and examine what we believe and what we what we've been saying and doing in light of what the Scripture says. That's something that's going on all the time. We're always examining ourselves whether to be in the faith or not. So every service ought to challenge us. Amen. Praise God. Get our notes out. Get our thinking caps. Bring our brain in. It's okay. God doesn't mind you bring your brain in. That's a wonderful thing to do. Come on in with the body and think about it. Amen. Hebrews 1. Hebrews, this is the mandate, of course, from heaven for men making coffee. Hebrews. Okay, the first verse says, God who at various times, and I'm reading New King James here incidentally, I think it says sundry times and divers manners, King James Version. God who at various times and in various ways spoke in time past to the fathers by the prophets, that was the medium he used. I mean, in the Old Covenant, Old Testament, we have filled with prophets that stood up and spoke in the name of the Lord, and that was God's medium of speaking to us through the prophets, okay? Old Covenant, Old Testament. Doesn't mean prophets passed away, because there are New Testament prophets that we know of, and the Scripture even talks about that. But he didn't appear personally. He didn't come along. He did on occasion. He appeared to Moses and the 70 elders when they ate. He sat down and ate with them. He appeared, you know, unto Ezekiel. He appeared to Adam and Eve, we know. There's some places he did appear. But he mainly spoke through the prophets. Old Covenant, Old Testament, the former days. God who at various times and in various ways spoke in times past to the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken to us by his Son, or in his Son, or in Son. It doesn't even translate well. We can't even make a sentence out of it, really, and we have to add all these words to it. Jesus is the medium that God speaks through now. He is it. He did not bring us a message. He actually is the message. It's hard to wrap our minds around that sometimes. We think about Jesus being the messenger, but actually he's the message and the messenger. And he's what God is speaking. And if we're not speaking him, we're not speaking the message, because he is what God is speaking in these last days. No question. Jesus is it. His name is the authorized name. His name is the name above every name. That's the name that we even talk in, that we speak through and in. We come to you in Jesus' name. I bless you in the name of Jesus. Hello. Okay. So he says, in his last days spoke to us by his Son, or in his Son, when he appointed whom he has appointed heir of all things, through whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory, the express image of his person. That word image is the express character. He sums him up. You know, he is the, if you had a character that would sum up God, that would be it. Jesus. Okay? The express image of his person, upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins. Hallelujah, somebody.
Yes, amen.
Nobody helped him do that. He did that by himself. He by himself purged our sins.
Yeah.
Who by himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high, having become so much better than the angels, as he has by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. There's no spirit you could call on that has a name like Jesus' name. There's no angel you could call. You couldn't pray to any angel and ever have the kind of power you would to pray in Jesus' name, because Jesus' name is above the angels. And he got it by inheritance. It was conferred upon him. We know that God highly exalted him and gave him this name that is above every name. Man, wouldn't you like to have that name? Well, you do. That's the good news. We have that name. What are you talking? Are you kidding me? No, not kidding you at all. I'll tell you the truth. We have that name. That's the name we pray. Now, maybe we don't think about that when we pray. Maybe we don't put our faith in that name as we should. Maybe we're kind of flipping about it, or we may just say in Jesus' name, not really thinking about it. But still, nonetheless, if we would get back in faith and begin to realize what this name really represents, all the authority of heaven is behind that name. And it's the name Jesus told us to pray in. In John the 14th chapter, 15th chapter, and 16th chapter. In fact, when you talk about prayer, it's Jesus that told us, in that day you'll ask me nothing, but whatever you ask the Father in my name, I will do it. If you ask anything in my name, I'll give it to you. Anything, meaning that's promised, anything that's in the Word, or anything that's in that account. You'd have to look at Jesus and see what kind of stuff's in his account. Right? I mean, he wouldn't have hate in his account. You couldn't get that in Jesus' name. You couldn't hate somebody in Jesus' name. You'd have to do that in your own name. Hello. You couldn't curse him in Jesus' name. You'd have to do that in your own name. Hello. So you have access to whatever's in his name. Now don't get depressed here, because there's a whole lot of good stuff in his name. A whole lot better than hate and cursing anyway. Amen. You couldn't believe, and I'm not trying to be crude here, just give you an idea of how crazy we get sometimes. You couldn't believe for another man's wife in Jesus' name. That's not scripture. You can't do that. And crazy Christians do things like that, and they'll say, well, I use the name. Yeah, but see, that's not in that account. That's not in that name. You know, the Bible says he exalted his word above his name. Whoa, wait a minute. What? He exalted his word above his name. In other words, you couldn't ask for anything in Jesus' name that he doesn't tell you in his word you could have. That's how he exalted his word above his name. God's only as good as his word. If you can't take his word, then he's nothing. He is his word. He is what he says he is. So you couldn't ask for something that he doesn't say he'll do, no matter how many times you said in Jesus' name. Because Jesus' name represents him. It's not a magic word. It represents Jesus. You and I have been given that name to use. And just like if I were to order something for Trinity Produce, I couldn't order a car in the name of Trinity Produce, because that's not the business they were in. That's not what they did. Like going to a Mexican food restaurant and ordering Chinese food. That's not what they make Mexican food. It's on the sign. Hello. Okay. I'm just about through here. Stay with me. This helping you?
Yes.
Okay. And we're staying. This is a series we're doing on Wednesday nights, and we'll continue this on because we've got a lot to cover. And when you talk about the name of Jesus in the book of Acts, the name of Jesus in prayer, the name of Jesus concerning signs, wonders, and miracles, the name of Jesus in all that we say and all that we do. I mean, these are subjects that it'll take a while to cover, but stay with us. And we want to stir you. I want to stir you about this. We need to be stirred about this name. I think we've got lackadaisical, apathetic about it as Christians. And we talk about prayer. Oh, yeah, we ought to pray about that. What do you mean we ought to pray about it? Man, we've got power with God. We have an audience with God in Jesus' name. You as a Christian, you as a believer in Jesus can change the world, change your world anyway. You can make a difference. You do not have to put up with that lying devil that's trying to crush you down and destroy your life. You can stand up and speak up and run him out in Jesus' name. So, having become so much better, fourth verse, than the angels, as he has by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. Turn over Ephesians 4. This is Ephesians 1. This will be the last passage that we turn to tonight, and we'll wrap this up. Hallelujah. Glory. I'm about to preach myself, huh? Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. Ephesians, the first chapter. And this is a standard prayer, a prayer that Paul prayed for the church at Ephesus. It's often quoted when we talk about prayer, Ephesians 1, 17 through the end of the chapter there, the 23rd verse. And then Ephesians 3 is also another prayer that we often pray for churches, great prayers to pray for churches. But I want us to look at this in light of the name. Paul's thanking God for them, praying that God would give them wisdom, revelation, so on and so forth, that God would open their eyes and so on. In the 19th verse, he says, first chapter, 19th verse, Paul speaking, and what is the exceeding, he's praying that they would know this, okay, to get the context of the prayer. I don't have time to teach the whole prayer. What is the exceeding greatness of his power to us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power? Ooh, hallelujah, somebody. Lord, help me get through that verse without making too much comment. God wants us to know, and Paul's praying that the church would know what the exceeding greatness of God's power is to us who believe. Now, God's power is not to everybody, but it is to us who believe. And if you'll believe, God's power is to you. We ought to have a revelation. We need a revelation of the greatness of God's power that is to us who believe. What kind of power? Well, it's the kind of power that he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead. Same power. Because it says, according to the working of his mighty power which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead. How big is your problem? the power that raised Christ from the dead is available for you who believe.
That's right. Yes.
And Paul is praying, oh God, that they would get a revelation. They've seen greatness of God's power toward us who believe. According to the what kind of power? According to what? According to the working of His mighty power, which He wrought in Christ when He raised Him from the dead. Wow. That's the kind of power we're talking about. Which He worked in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and seated Him at His own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and name, and might and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in that which is to come. Wow. Now we've gone from heaven, earth, under the earth, to every age. I mean, we're just covering everything here. We're not leaving anything out here. Space and time, Jesus' name.
Amen.
That's the name above every name. Giving Him the name, it's above every name. Hallelujah. Not only in this age, but also in that which is to come. Now get this, and hath put all things under His feet and gave Him to be the head over all things to the church, which is His body, the fullness of Him that fills all in all. We are the body of Christ. Anybody disagree with that? As a Christian, I'm a member of the body of Christ. You are too, whether I'm Baptist, Methodist, Pentecostal. If I know Jesus, I'm a Christian. I'm part of the body. Well, He's put all things under our feet, even if you are a heel. Just thought I'd throw that out. Everything's still under you in Christ. Mm-hmm. Heard it said this way, if you've got a message for the devil, right on the bottom of your shoe. Because He's under you. We don't always feel that way. Doesn't always look that way, but that's the way it is.
Amen.
And we've got this name.
Amen.
It's above every name. Hallelujah. This name, Jesus. You go through the book of Acts, it's real simple. It doesn't take a lot of snap to figure it out. Don't have to be a rocket scientist, and thank God you don't. Amen? You can't be too smart to get it, but you really can't be too dumb to get it because it just means what it says. I don't think we're too dumb. I think we're too smart. I think much learning has made us man. I think we know too much. And then when God says it real simple, we just can't grasp it. We just can't get it. That just can't be. That's just too simple. Well, thank God it is simple. Amen? And God chooses the foolish things of this world to confound the wise. You see not many mighty, not many noble, not many rich in this world. No. But God's chosen the base things. Things that are not to do away with things which are. And you know what? That's us. Hallelujah. I qualify. Praise God. I can believe. I can believe. I have that name. Praise God. I can call on that name. And I'm learning. I'm growing in it. I hadn't always done it right. But you know, I'm going to get back on the road and pick myself back up and keep praying, keep believing, and dig into this thing, stir myself. There are times in my life I'm more stirred up than others. But you know what? That's my fault. That's not God's fault. That's something I just got to keep going through. We go through cycles. But man, shake yourself. Wake up to who you are. That's what Paul is praying here in this verse. You know that we would have a revelation of it. And in this case, revelation of the name, Jesus.